All right. Hey, guys. My name is Anthony Bandiero, attorney and senior legal instructor with Blue Gold Law Enforcement Training, bringing another great webinar. This is all about trespassing. I'm going to try to enlighten you about what the law is looking for trespassing. Now, when I say all about trespassing, I'm going to hit some of the high notes. I'm going to hit some of the things that I think that sometimes officers struggle with when they are enforcing a trespassing statute. Now, please appreciate that I'm not going to go through 50 different states plus DC their statutes, right? The way your statute is written does matter. However, I'm going to give you some representative examples of what these statutes look like, and I'm going to give you some training points that I think cops should know and that are very, let's just say, universal, okay? Some quick disclaimers. Laws and agency SOPs may be more restrictive. That is definitely true with a topic like today, okay? There's no way that I can make this training applicable to every single state. But just look for the commonalities between what I'm telling you and what your state statute says. If you have any doubt what you're doing up there, push up the chain. Ask your prosecutor. Ask your district attorney, okay? A lot of them are here today. And finally, this course is legal education, not legal advice. I'm an attorney, but I'm just not your attorney. So I don't win those battles with your attorneys. I try to teach them what I think the law is, and then they get the last say if they represent you. That's the way that works. All right. So introduction. So we are going to focus on the unlawful entry onto land, right? Or a building. We're not going to talk about criminal activity while you're on that land. So a person may be trespassing and also committing petty larceny, right? We're not going to get into petty larceny, but we'll talk about the trespassing and what is trespassing and so forth. Let's go through three representative examples of these statutes, how they're written, what they're looking for, and so forth. Let's start with the once great state of California. And it says that a person who willfully commits a trespass is guilty of misdemeanor, right? PC 602. And it's a complicated statute, but it says refusing or failing to leave land, real property, or structures not open to the general public, on request by the owner or lawful possessor, or by a peace officer at the request of the owner or lawful possessor, this provision does not apply to union activities. Okay, so what do we see here? We see a few things that are going to be commonality, right? Being warned, right? But also this idea that, you know, if you're on public areas, right, you're in a open to the public parking lot, there might be some restrictions on enforcing trespass, you know, with the sign or and so forth. We're going to talk about that. So, all right. So also entering lands for the purpose of injuring property or with the intention of interfering with, obstructing, or injuring a business or occupation. That is a very common element or a factor for trespass, right? It's, in other words, you know, you may be able to go onto inside the Walgreens, right? But if you're also going into that Walgreens with the intent to steal, some states would consider that trespassing, right? Because you're entering, not burglary necessarily, you know, but trespassing because you entered that land with the intent to injure that business, right? To steal from it and so forth. Failing to leave a public building when closed or on request of the custodian, if the circumstances indicate the defendant has no apparent lawful business there. Okay, guys, this is very, very important. Okay, I get this question all the time. You know, can we trespass people from our police station, right? Can we trespass people from the park? Well, generally speaking, if they're not using that facility or area for its intended purpose, then they can be trespassed, right? People can be trespassed from the DMV. People can be trespassed from the courthouse if they're not using for its intended purpose. The park, though, is a tough one, right? Because parks are there for leisure and they're there for, you know, hobbies and so forth. People can be at the park and just do nothing with the park. They can be there in their car. They can be on the park bench and sit there for 8 hours if they want, as long as it's not closed and so forth. So even though a lot of cops think that, well, they're not using the park, they don't have to. They are using the park in the way that they want to use the park. So it's stuff like that. Just think about, you know, those kind of issues. Okay. Now let me talk about Nevada, right? Which I'm most familiar with as a former Nevada law enforcement officer. So it says any person who goes upon the land or into any building of another with the intent to vex, that basically means to harass, or annoy the owner or occupant thereof, or to commit an unlawful act. So that is common with the new, with the California statute, right? You saw that. Like, trespassing is also entering a public building or a place that's open to the public with the intent to commit some kind of crime, or, you know, not be there for a lawful purpose, right? There to harass an ex-girlfriend or something like that, right? Now, or willfully goes upon, goes or remains upon any land or in any building after having been warned by the owner or occupant thereof not to trespass is guilty of misdemeanor. Now, here's the question though, right? The question is, you know, how are you warned? Okay, we're going to talk about that. Like, there's a statutory requirement to warn these people that they are committing trespass, that they're not welcome there. And we're going to talk about that in more detail when we get to the next thing. Okay. So, all right. So what about the homeless resource center? Look, somebody says, what about the homeless? Again, you're going to have to look at your statute, right? But are they using that facility for its intended purpose? I mean, you know, right? Or are they there to harass people? Are they committing other crimes? So somebody says, but not the first amendment auditor at the DMV or police station, right? I think that becomes an exception. Absolutely. You got to be very, very careful with first amendment auditors. But, you know, this is not a first amendment class. And it's, you know, first amendment obviously is a very complicated thing. But the point is that a DMV is not necessarily a public forum. Okay. The, you know, the city hall is, and maybe the police station, depending on what you're kind of, but just because it's a public building does not mean it's a public forum, right? The post office is not a public forum. You know, people don't necessarily have the right to protest at the post office, right? They may have to go to the park or to the sidewalk and so forth. It's just something to consider, right? And then Michael says, how do you define the purpose? Well, you're going to have to talk to your prosecutor about that, right? And, you know, I got to tell you, just in my experience, prosecutors are very lenient on these issues, okay? They are not looking to arrest people just because they go into the Parks and Recreation building and complain about their government, right? You got to be very careful about that because you're going to get a lot of leeway. I mean, people can have some leeway to complain. And then if they do not, if they're causing, you know, harassing customers, if business cannot be done, then that's when it likely can turn into a trespass. But you have to make that decision. I can't make those for you, right? I'm just telling you what these laws say, and you're going to have to articulate why business can't be done. I would think that's probably a good piece of advice. And I do not know about PL 280. Okay, so a person commits an offense. This is Texas, right? A person commits an offense if the person enters or remains on or in the property of another, including residential land, agricultural land, a recreational vehicle park, a building, a general residential operation as a resident treatment center. Okay. So, or an aircraft or other vehicle without effective consent of the person. And the person had notice that the entry was forbidden, right? Received notice to depart but failed to do so. For purpose of this section, entry means the intrusion of the entire body. Okay. I want to see what Ryan says. Ryan says, my supervisor couldn't wrap his head around me trespassing two individuals that caught sleeping in the PD lobby. They had sleeping bags and were sleeping on the floor. And I explained that I can trespass if they are outside the scope of the use. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. If you can't trespass them, that means the entire city or 100 migrants can just come into your police department and just take it over, right? And use your bathroom, sleep on the floor. That's not a public forum, okay? That's not where, you know, first of all, there's two things going there. Number one, sleeping in the PD is not a First Amendment activity, right, guys? And second of all, we know from the U.S. Supreme Court by the case called Grants Pass, right? City of Grants Pass, I think I have it right, that we can enforce, you know, urban camping laws, right? We can enforce our laws against the homeless or transients, even though it has the effect of making their life a little harder. It is what it is, right? The PD has a purpose, and that building is for, you know, for police reports and crime victims and so forth. Okay. All right. Let's look at some common elements, right? Common elements. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Now, I do know that during COVID, a lot of police stations were very lenient on this, but that's because they felt compassion and so forth, I guess. But after COVID, you know, I saw a lot more police agencies kind of cleaning up their lobby, right? Does Nevada have a criminal trespass on vehicles? No. The answer is no. No, because it actually, I ran into this problem before in Nevada where people are trespassed from the RTC bus, and it can get a little tricky. It can get a little tricky. Okay, let's talk about it. Okay, here are some common factors that I kind of want to talk about. Number one is what is the mental status, right? What is the mental status? Number two is they enter or remain upon the land or building, right? That's right. They're not leaving and so forth after having been warned, and by who, you know, who is actually telling these people to leave. Now, Williams says, does it matter if the police lobby and the city lobby are one and the same? Yes, it does matter, but remember, sleeping in a public building is not a First Amendment activity, right? It's, you know, they could do a sleep in. You've seen it from the 1960s. Somehow they're just, you know, but sleeping with the sleeping bags and making that your home for the night is not a First Amendment activity. So if they're not engaged in the First Amendment, you can enforce your laws. I'm not telling you what to do, but generally speaking, what I tell my clients is that you can enforce the laws because they're not using the building for its intended purpose. All right. All right. So let's kind of go through these one by one. So the first factor is they did so willfully. Usually that's the intent that's required, right? So the word willfully implies a purpose or a willingness to commit the act, right? Their purpose is to enter that building, right? It does not require any intent to violate the law. They may not think they're violating the law, right? The people sleeping, you know, in the police station, right? They don't think they're trespassing, but that's not the standard. It's, are they intentionally remaining upon the land after having been warned that they are no longer allowed there, right? All right. So let's talk about Pargas versus Jones. This is a Texas case. It's a civil case, but involves a trespass issue. So briefly, what happened here is that a tenant sued his landlord because the landlord removed this large propane tank or gas tank, whatever it was, from the property. Okay. And the landlord claimed he owned the tank. And the tenant says, no, I leased it. That's part of my lease for my little farm or whatever. But the landlord entered anyway without any permission and took the tank. Now, he can be, obviously, if the tank did not belong to the landlord, we can get him with theft. But also, is he committing trespass, right? And of course, the answer is yes, right? The court found that the landlord willfully trespassed against the tenant's leased land. He went there for the purpose of, you know, committing a crime, right? To take his property. So it's trespass as well. So as the court held here, the defendant notified plaintiff that they would retrieve a butane gas tank allegedly covered by a lease. But the plaintiff demanded proof of the lease, which was not provided. Without notice, without saying, hey, it gives me lawful authority, the defendant trespassed into the plaintiff's property by removing a fence, damaging gas lines, and taking the tank. Since there was no written lease, the defendant's actions were a willful trespass, allowing the plaintiff to seek damages for mental anguish. Now, one of the reasons I put this case in this, because it's kind of an obscure case, but I got to tell you, once I saw that mental anguish, I'm like, man, that butane tank has a lot of sentimental value. You know what I mean? It's like going to be buried right next to him in the old farm. So, but that's obviously a trespass, right? So the next one is enter or remains upon a land or a building, right? This, you know, there are statutes. I believe Washington State is one of them that includes vehicles. Maybe I might be talking about burglary, but it includes some statutes include vehicles part of trespass. Like you can trespass, but generally speaking, I don't see that. I don't see cars included in the statute. So you have to use something else, right? Okay, and Louisiana does good. And Brian says, can the property owner give the police the power to be their agent through some kind of contract, whatever, when the property owner isn't present to give suspect party the warning. Absolutely. Absolutely, Brian. And I look, I can't speak, again, this is a general education class, but we see it all the time. We see it in Las Vegas where, you know, businesses give Las Vegas Metropolitan Police the power to trespass people on their behalf when they meet certain conditions, like they're there after hours and so forth. We see it in California. We see it in Texas. Absolutely. Those are very, very common agreements. And yes, you do become the agent, you know, of the business. But I want to let you know that you still can't do anything that violates the Fourth Amendment. Okay. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Okay. And Corey does confirm that criminal trespass is applicable to vehicles in Washington. Thank you. Yep. And Philip says, yep. Good, good, good. All right. Awesome. And Brandon says, make sure there's a document in place. Now, Jason says, does that have to be in writing? No, it does not have to be in writing. However, I will. The problem is that when it's not in writing, I do have officers tell me, yeah, the cashier, you know, gave me permission to move people along, you know? And I say, well, what's his or her name? It was a female, you know, blah, 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 look this way. What's her name? Well, I don't know her name. You have a problem there, right? Because if you get sued and you can't point the finger about who told you to do this, then you seem to be acting on your own. And that's a problem, right? When in doubt, write it out. Okay. So the law includes the entire building, the land, the premises, and so forth. That just makes sense that people can control their property, right? If you have the Dutton Ranch, you can trespass people from the entire 2,000 acres, right? Okay. The next thing I want is after having been warned, right? And I love the comments, by the way. I love the comments. So that is probably one of the most confusing areas under this, right? And again, I'm going to kind of focus on Nevada revised statute because, A, I'm most familiar with it, but also it's a very common, the way it's written. It's very simple. It's not super complex like California law. It just kind of gets right down to business. And it says that a person must have been warned by the owner or occupant not to trespass, right? So how do you warn this person? How does a reasonable person know that they're not allowed to be there? Well, let's go through a few scenarios, right? So the first one is this case, right? A police officer arrested the defendant for trespassing at an apartment complex based on the manager's statement and a list of people who have been warned not to trespass. The officer found cocaine in the defendant's pocket during a search incident to arrest. So he believed that this person had been warned and they should not have been there, right? So the court held that the Court of Criminal Appeals ruled that the warrantless arrest can be justified under Texas law if the officer had personal knowledge or reliable information, right? Here, the officer had enough reason to believe that the defendant was trespassing in their presence. So even if there was, you know, if it's a mistake of fact, right? If there was a defect in the trespass, right? But the officer reasonably believed based on solid evidence, right? And facts that this person was prohibited from being there, that should be a lawful arrest, criminally and civilly, right? Well, maybe not criminally because they didn't commit trespass, but the fruit of the arrest would not be suppressed. The police officer had enough information to make a warrantless arrest for trespass at the apartment complex, including the manager's warning to the arrestee, the officer's knowledge of previous warnings, a list of warned individuals, and seeing the arrestee at the complex. Personal knowledge wasn't required for all aspects of determining probable cause. This does come up, right? Here's what comes up. Like, let's say in Las Vegas, right? You'll get like the casino, and they'll say, yeah, the security guard will say, yeah, I trespassed that guy last week. And you're like, do you have any proof of that, right? I mean, well, no, I just remember telling him he's no longer welcome here. That's PC, okay? Unless you think that security guard's lying or he doesn't know who, he's like, I think that was him. Unless you don't think, you know, he's confident enough to support probable cause. That's probable cause. Now, is that a beyond a reasonable doubt case? Maybe not. Maybe the defendant goes to court and says, prove to everybody here, right, that you actually trespassed me a week before. And the security guards, well, I remember it. Maybe the judge throws that. I don't know. But what we're talking about is we're talking about probable cause at this point, right? Now, let's see here. It says, if we conduct a verbal trespass because the defendant was not identifying themselves, how can we prove that the person was verbally trespassed if we don't have his or her name? That Listen, look at what Kevin just wrote. That is the million-dollar question. I have never, in my experience, and maybe I'm somewhere out there, right? I have never seen a law that allows police to basically have a guy that is told to leave. He's trespass. He complies. He says, yep, I'm out of here. You know, I don't want to be here anyway. And then still have the ability to detain him, to identify him, just in case he comes back later. Because the problem is, here is the problem, under the Fourth Amendment. The problem is, has he committed a crime? If he's doing exactly what the law expects him to do, which is comply, which is leave, and he did not commit any other crime, he did not enter the property to vex or annoy anybody, to commit petty larceny, he did not do any of that. He was standing in front of 7-Eleven, and 7-Eleven told him to leave, and now he is leaving. Can the police detain him to demand his ID? And the answer is no, because there is no crime. And you're going to have to use a picture. You're going to have to use memory, a video. Unfortunately, it is a million-dollar question, and it's tough. But I don't, how long does the warning last? I cannot tell you that. I can only tell you that I can tell you what I teach. I teach the statute of limitations, okay? So in Nevada, it's 2 years, okay? In Nevada, the trespass is good for 2 years. Now, remember, we're talking about areas open to the public, right? If it's a trespass, if it's, climbing a fence, well, that's a new crime every time they climb the fence, right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Exactly. I love it. Okay. Now, an invitation to a public place can only be revoked for good cause. Okay. You should ask the business. Like, we're talking about, look, we are talking about open to the public areas. Okay. We're talking about restaurants. We're talking about, apartment complexes, right? We're not talking about people's homes, right? We're not talking about closed businesses. What I'm saying to you is, if you arrive at a location and they're like, the business, like, I want him out of here. You do want to know why, right? Just to make sure that there is no prohibited discrimination going on here. I don't ever see it, but I did see it after 9/11. Okay. After 9/11, there were store owners that were telling men of Arabic descent to leave, right? Descent. And that's prohibited, right? You can't enforce that because it violates the Constitution, violates state law too, right? That's just what I'm trying. Like, sometimes it's rare, but it almost never happens. But, it could be religion. Look, you got, Israelis and Palestine, Palestinians and so forth. Maybe there is a store owned by one of them and they just don't want a person of the other faith, religion, and so forth to be there. You can't enforce that, right? You're going to have to step back and be like, if it's an open to the public area, you can't enforce that. All right. So let's talk about some of the common ways, right, of letting people know they are not welcome. The first one that is almost in most statutes is paint, right? What color is the paint in Texas? What color is the paint in Texas? You guys know the answer, right? Purple, right? And what color is the paint in Nevada? What color is the paint in Nevada? You guys know? It's not purple. Uh-uh. It is orange. Okay, so yeah, a lot of states do purple, which I actually like it because purple is a unique color in the wild, right? Orange seems to be, might be confused with construction paint. But here's an example, right? A warning against trespassing is valid if you do the fluorescent orange paint. That's Nevada. That's not Texas. Texas wants purple. And then they also say, like, how to mark the land, right? 50 square inches, each corner of the land, no more than 1,000 feet intervals, right? And so forth. And it has to be seen. It has to be able to be seen by the trespasser. So here is a good example of Texas, right? So Texas is going to have purple paint. And I think a lot of other people say purple paint as well, right? Very common. So purple paint marks on trees or posts, along with other signs, serve as effective notices for trespass. Okay. So here's what Texas Penal Code says. It says the notice means the placement of identifying purple paint marks on trees or posts on the property, provided the marks are vertical, not less than 8 inches tall, and they also have a height no less than 3 feet off the ground. So you have to have it 3 feet off the ground and at least 8 inches tall, right? Okay, here's a great example of purple paint in most states, right? That's going to give that person notice that they cannot be back there. So once they cross that purple paint, they have committed trespass and they can be cited, arrested accordingly. Okay, let's watch a video.
Live continues.
All right, everyone, get ready to mark your property with purple paint.
Yeah, soon state law will change to give new meaning to purple marks in the state. News 8 State House Bureau Chief David Williams explains.
I have the landowner's permission to do this. Starting July 1st, if you see this, it will mean no trespassing.
Steve Wethington says sometimes people come onto his property without his permission.
We do get people trespassing on the lake, and this is a private property.
Now he has a state-approved solution to help keep them away. Purple paint.
As long as people hear about it, it'll be fine. I had no problem spraying my tree.
Republican State Rep David Watkins wrote the law primarily for people in rural areas to be able to clearly mark their large property boundaries on fence posts or trees. I asked, could the mark be a circle, star, or an X?
No, the mark has to be a vertical line straight up and down and at least 8 inches long. It can be longer than that. On fence posts, it has to actually go to the top of the post. So basically, you start at the top of the post and come down.
Instead of going down.
All right, we kind of get it, right? So purple paint, the next one that's very common. And also, somebody asked me a question real quick, and I do want to answer it. Idaho, Emmanuel says Idaho is orange paint. So somebody says, I'm from New York, and they never heard of the paint. Paint is very common in rural states, right? States with a lot of agriculture. Because it's actually the most affordable way for a farmer to mark his property. Farmers cannot necessarily afford a fence or all these signs that are posted every 500 feet and so forth, but they can afford paint. Okay. And then somebody says, sometimes Ryan says this, sometimes security asks us to sign a trespass for a whole business center when the person is only at one specific business within the center. Can they do that? Yes. As long as that security person is the agent of that whole property, they have the authority to trespass people from anywhere they want. This is very common in Las Vegas. Las Vegas will have a trespasser in, the MGM, right? And they tell the guy, hey, you're trespassed not from just the MGM, but all of our properties, the Lexor, the Mandalay Bay, and so forth. Is that lawful? Absolutely. You can trespass people proactively, preemptively, from anywhere you want. Joseph says Walmart's with that with all stores with the same people. I wish I was trespassed from Walmart. I think that'd be almost a compliment that I don't belong there. I'm a Target person, a little Target. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And Kevin, I can talk about that case on the air if you want. Okay. So let's talk about fencing. This is also a common way of letting people know they can't be there. A sufficient warning against trespassing within the meaning of this section is given by any of the following methods: fenced areas. Now, the fence does not need to be locked, nor are no trespassing signs required. Look, the fence is the notice. I think that makes sense, doesn't it? That if you're hopping somebody's fence or you're opening up a gate and it's not open to the public and you're not doing a knock and talk and so forth, you're trespassing. So you look at this, we don't need signs. This is Nevada, by the way, but if your law is written fencing, you don't need the signs and the fence. In fact, you can have one or the other. Now, many people do both, right? But you don't have to do both. You don't have to do both. The plaintiff argues that, NRS 207.200 provides that fencing of a property is a sufficient warning against trespassing. The court agrees and finds that a reasonable person knew or should have known that by entering the fenced area, he would be trespassing. Also, cops will ask me, Anthony, what if the fence is like broken into, right? People have already kind of pulled the fence back. Yeah, it's still warning. It's, you know, if you have to squeeze through a fence to get into property, you should know that you're not welcome there, okay? That's not how people normally get onto property, is by squeezing through broken fences. All right. The defendant was charged with criminal trespass for unlawfully entering Pillow's property, which was fenced with a no trespassing sign. He jumped the fence as he had no key, but Pillow documented it and reported him to the police. Lopez argued he lived on his sister's neighboring property, but had an eviction notice and a previous trespass warning there, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of confusing, but can we cut through people's property? You know the answer, right? That's criminal trespass, right? You don't have the right to make the, you know, take the short path, right? As the crow flies. A person commits the offense of criminal trespass if the person enters or remains on property of another without effective consent, and the person had noticed that the entry was forbidden and received notice to depart but failed to do so. So this is where the fencing, the purple paint, you are, when you pass that, you committed, presumptively, you have committed trespass. If there's reason to believe that you don't belong there, right? Okay. All right. So let's see here. I once told a group of people, if you have to jump a fence again and you don't have long, I absolutely totally agree with that. Now, there could always be facts like, no, we know these people. They're just jumping their own fence. But absolutely, I think that an officer could reasonably believe that people jumping that fence, they are trespassers. You at least have reasonable suspicion. Even if there is a no sign, a reasonable person would believe that they aren't allowed to enter the property and cross those gates. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Unless it's a knock and talk type of situation. Now, no trespassing signs. So you can give notice by posting no trespassing signs or other notice of like meaning, right? Do not enter is going to work. It doesn't have to say no trespassing. At intervals of such a distance as is necessary to ensure that at least one such sign would be within the direct line of sight of a person standing next to another such sign, but at intervals of no more than 500 feet, each corner of the land upon or near the boundary. Okay, so this is why we use purple paint, okay? Because these signs can get very expensive, and they have to be, you can see how Nevada is kind of complex on us, but that's fine, though. This is a very effective way of, you know, of doing, making notice, right? The section is intended for property that's closed to the general public. Okay, I want you to know that, because we were going to get into this, but I want you to know that putting up a no trespassing sign in an area that is also open to the general public is not very legally effective. Because if let's say, for example, at Walgreens, right? Walgreens in a high crime area, right? So take like California, and you have the sign that says no trespassing on the front, right? No loitering, but it's also open at 10 a.m. That sign is not, it's not legally effective, because the sign is not, it's not prohibiting people from walking onto the property, and the police don't get to pick and choose who stays and who goes unless you have that agent relationship and you have the endorsement by the agent of that business to tell people that are loitering in front to go. But if you don't have that agent relationship, you don't have that agreement, you don't get to choose who stays and goes. They have to do the warning. They have to do the warning, right? Tyler says, what if the fence does not go all the way around the property? All I can say is that case law says that they knew, the fencing basically meant that they knew or should have known that they were not allowed to be in that area. Partial fencing can serve as that notice. You may have at least probable cause, even if you don't have it beyond a reasonable case, right? But look at your way your law is written. Okay. If this section applied to open to the public businesses, then essentially everyone entering the land would be committing a trespass. That's just not the way it works.
We come in here investigating. You know, guys loitering, hanging out. It's been a problem back here. Car break-ins, burglaries, drug, you know, sales, buying.
Hey, Tara, where you at?
All right, fellas. Y'all stand back over here. Hey, my man. Come on back over here. Come on back over here.
Okay. All right. So here's why I bring up that video, okay? So this is something that I have seen many, many times, okay, where an officer is patrolling a high crime area, a parking lot. That parking lot has a no trespassing sign, and he sees people moping around, loitering, whatever. And then he detains them, not consensual encounter, right? That's different. Consensual encounter all day long. But he detains them to confirm whether or not they live there. Do you see the problem there, right? You know, cops, generally speaking, do not have the authority to do that. That's not, they are, you know, you guys are not top flight security and you're not Wackenhut. You are a police officer and you have this thing called the Fourth Amendment between you and that citizen. So I have seen this though. And I asked the cop, like, why'd you detain them? And he'll say, because there's no trespassing signs, no loitering. They look like they're loitering. Okay. They also look like they could be inhabitants of that, you know, that apartment complex and just hanging out by their truck, mind their own business. So do you have any facts or circumstances that they are not welcome there or they are trespassing? No, I want to make sure. And if that's the answer, make sure through a consensual encounter, right? So Amanda says, what, the loitering signs? If do you have a no loitering sign in a open to the public area and you do not have a law against loitering, which you probably don't because courts have found those to be ambiguous, right? What is loitering under the law? What? How does a person comply with no loitering? What does that mean? What does that mean? It's ambiguous to some to a reasonable person. But also, you just don't know what the situation is. There are plenty of people out there that do not care. Store owners, cashiers that don't care if homeless people are in front of their business. And there are other people out there that their boyfriend is hanging out in front of the business, in front of the liquor store until the girlfriend gets off. You just don't know, and you don't have the authority to move them along unless you are the agent of that business. Or you go talk to these people and say, hey, you got a guy hanging out in front of your store. Do you want him moved along? And then the cashier says, yeah, please. Hey, he really is kind of scaring our customers. Then you go out to that person and say, hey, I spoke to the cashier. They want you moved along. You are going to have to leave. And they say, I ain't leaving. Trespass, right? You're the agent. You're the mouthpiece of that business. And you told them to leave and they didn't leave. Or they say, okay, I'm leaving. And the cop says, can I have your ID? I ain't giving you my ID. I'm leaving. Well, see ya, because they haven't committed a crime. You get my point? You get my point. Okay. Chris says, what about a public park? Absolutely. You can enforce. Thank God to the Supreme Court in Grants Pass. The Supreme Court has said we can finally, there's a Ninth Circuit case that kind of went against this, but we can finally enforce our urban camping laws. It's not a cruel and unusual punishment. Thank God for the Supreme Court that they did that. Okay. So the trespass sign is good to go. It's on the person to view that sign about, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Back of the business is usually trespass, okay? Let's save some of these questions for the show. Let me talk to you about Dudley. Here's what happened, okay? And by the way, I got to tell you, I love this little video that our guys did. It's our power, Amanda, is our PowerPoint hot stuff? I mean, this stuff is... Does it get any better than our slide deck? I don't think so, right? Our stuff is the best. So, all right. So, exactly. So, this is a case where the detective was patrolling a known gang area and saw six men hanging out in an apartment complex. There was a no trespassing sign, no loitering sign, right? He detained them in order to confirm whether or not they lived there. No. Not in America, right? We don't get detained by our government just to make sure that we live. We have to have something more that the person does not live there, not welcome there, or committing some kind of crime, right? So the court said unlawful detention because the guy ended up ditching a gun and so forth. So the court said the detective simply did not have specific articulable facts, which taken together with objective and reasonable inferences formed the basis for suspecting that this guy was engaged in criminal trespass, right? And also arrested the defendant for trespassing in part because he was at an apartment complex, apartment where he did not live and there were no trespassing signs, yet his girlfriend lived there. Again, where are we getting this authority? We're not Wackenhut. We are not the parking lot police. We don't have this authority, right? The court held that a no trespassing sign doesn't mean the person was not allowed to be there. And if you're the agent of the apartment complex, you're working off duty, you're working a side gig, you still have to give them an opportunity to comply with your order to leave, right? So let's skip that for now. Okay. I want to skip that as well. Okay. All right. I want to talk about verbal warning. Now, this verbal or written warning, this is the most common way to be trespassed in America, right? It's from 7-Eleven. It's from Walmart, right? So here is that other way. A sufficient warning against trespassing occurs by the owner or occupant of the land or building making an oral or written demand to any guest to vacate the land or building. So it's as simple as that, my friends. If they tell you to leave, you got to leave, okay? How much time do you have to leave? It all depends on your circumstances. If you have been staying at a a motel for a week and you got a lot of stuff to collect, you get a reasonable amount of time to collect your stuff. If you are sitting in front of 7-Eleven and you just bought your alcohol, whatever, and they tell you to leave, you better get gone, right? Because you don't need a lot of time to get going. All right. Now, unless one of the previous trespass notices apply, the person must be notified by the owner to leave. Now, yes, you can be the agent. You can be the agent, right? But if you're not hopping fences, you're not passing purple paint, you're not passing the signs that say no trespassing where nobody can be there, you better get warned, right? A gas station attendant told a trooper that he asked a car sitting at the gas pumps for over an hour to move, and they refused. The occupants then were detained for trespassing. Have they committed that crime? Yes, right? Absolutely. The crime has been committed. Now, I'll also tell you a big confusion that I see along with some of my officers is that they'll get a call for service. Well, they'll say the call is 7-Eleven told the guy to leave, right? And he's refusing to leave, right? Then you're driving up to 7-Eleven and you see the guy walking away from 7-Eleven. In other words, by the time you arrive, the guy's gone. He's off the property. And the question for the cops is, can we detain him to issue that citation to maybe make a citizen's arrest if it's appropriate in your state, right? Not all states allow a citizen's arrest under these circumstances, but can you do it? And the answer is yes, because do you have evidence that the crime has already occurred in your state, right? Do you have evidence that they told this guy to leave and he's not leaving? Well, the crime has occurred. That's a misdemeanor. Right? And in Nevada, you have a year and a day to issue that citation, right? So the point is that I see cops that say, oh, well, he's off property. I can't do anything. No, the crime is already, according to the MDT, the crime has occurred, right? Now, if the MDT says, I want you to warn him to leave because they don't want to get involved with the guy and he's gone, then you cannot detain him. And you cannot detain him and say, hey, by the way, they want you gone because the trespass has not occurred. They left. They were never warned to leave. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. So by the agent or owner or agent. So you can be the agent, right? Warning can be from the owner or agent. You can be the agent. You can have a trespass warning, right? Employees told the patron to leave the casino and he refused. He was arrested for trespassing. The argument is like, well, you're an employee. You don't own this casino. No. Security guards, cashiers, janitors are agents of the business, right? Employees may warn patrons leave, not just the owners of the business. That's ridiculous. A plaintiff was arrested by the defense, two police officers for allegedly trespassing at his girlfriend's apartment where he was engaged in a verbal argument with the grandmother of his girlfriend's children. Okay, so officers did not have reasonable suspicion to believe arrestee had committed trespass or domestic violence under California law. So there might be some facts. Yeah, so there's no evidence of a trespass here, right? Because they just verbally having a verbal argument is not trespassing, right? He did not enter that property in order to commit a crime, all right? So that's the reason there. Let's see what the court said, right? So the court said California's trespass statute criminalizes failing to leave property upon being requested to leave by either a peace officer at the request of the owner, so you can be the agent, the owner's agent, or the person in lawful possession. And so forth. That's the problem with that case is that the person was never warned to leave. So they're not committing trespass. All right, let's watch this.
So we're going to stop.
All right, we have a, so unfortunately, I got to fix this real quick. There is a problem with the video. One second. Sorry. There's two videos overlapped and they're playing at the same time. Okay, let me go back to that. I was just bragging about my slide deck and then all right. Hold on. All right. It looks like crap, but let me play the video.
So the paramedics can listen to your heart.
Because he's not crying, that's why he's not getting medical?
Yeah, well, no, hi, you're trespassing
you're
right now,
close.
So you should leave.
I'm
no,
not trespassing.
You're trespassing. You're
I'm
not
a
here
patron.
On business.
I have
you're
a receipt. I am here on business.
Go,
who are you to tell me what I'm doing? You
he's
can't
smoking
tell me
fentanyl
what
in the bathroom.
And that's
get
your
in the
business,
car and leave.
Not my business. What
this,
are you doing?
One more time.
This is your business.
You are trespassing.
I have business
leave
here.
Leave the property, or you will be under arrest.
Have a nice day.
Leave this property right now.
Leave
go.
Me alone.
I'm following you off the property. If you do not
do,
leave,
do
I will arrest you.
Do what you want. Arrest me. You made me. You came to me. I didn't come to you. I was far away from you. I don't know who you are. Get away from me. This is not consensual. Look at you. This is your job. You were smoking fentanyl, so your job is to follow me. Look, I have a receipt. I have business here.
Keep going. Keep going. You're trespassing.
Look at this, guys. I know you guys are missing me. Here's a lot.
Okay, so the question I have for you is this, okay? Based on what we see here, I don't know the full story, but I saw that video and I said to myself, all right, is there a chance that this is what's going on? They don't want her around, okay? Because she's annoying, okay? Her, by the way she talks, maybe by the way she acts, okay? Maybe she's annoying these cops. And she clearly, at this point in time, is not engaged in business. She already purchased her gas. She already, or not her gas, but she already purchased her, you know, her food or whatever. Then they see her kind of, you know, filming this scene. Can they, without talking to the cashier or manager, can they on their own, sua sponte, say, hey, you're not engaged in business. You are now trespassing. Get gone. Okay. Okay. If that is the facts of the case, the answer is no. Unless that cop says, Anthony, you are absolutely incorrect. I say, why? Because I own this gas station. This is the cop is my part-time job. Unless he says something like that, or he has some kind of relationship with that business that he's allowed to trespass people that are not engaged in some kind of business. Unless he says something like that, he's not the owner of that business or the agent. He has no authority to do that. He's kicking out customers that may be allowed to be there. In fact, I got to tell you, if the cop went up to the business and said, hey, can we move her along? They may say, no, she's a customer of ours. We don't want to piss her off. Why? We don't care. She's just filming you guys. It's up to them. So her biggest mistake, quite frankly, is moving along. If the cop did not get permission from the owner and he didn't say anything about that, then her moving along was probably kind of dumb. Because she could have probably got a free check out of this because, you know, quite frankly, I don't think what he said was lawful. Yeah, but Brian says, okay, and I love the question. So change of circumstances. She shows the receipt. She's done with the business. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. We don't get to decide, right, who gets to stay and who gets to leave if they're not engaged in business. I have been at Denny's. Okay, been a while, but I have been at Denny's 2 hours after I finished my meal. Okay, they would have loved probably to get me going, right? But I'm not really engaged in business anymore. But if a cop came up to me and said, Anthony, you need to leave, I say, for what? Because I watched you in Denny's and you're not buying anything and you ate your food 2 hours ago. They can't trespass me, right? They can't trespass me. Now, loitering, here's the thing about loitering, okay? Do you have an anti-loitering statute in your state or city that you can enforce? If you do, then I guess read the law and see if they're lording per that law. I would be cautious. But second of all, it doesn't comply with trespass, because if the area is open to the public, is that gas station open to the public? Yes or no? Can the general public be there? Yes or no? And the answer is yes. Therefore, they're not trespassing because they have not been warned to leave. You guys with me so far? She did not climb a fence. She did not go past purple paint. She did not go past signs that say no trespassing. Now, the loitering issue is this, right? Exactly. Loitering is other illegal activities. Loitering for the purpose of prostitution. Loitering for the purpose of selling drugs. Okay. So, okay. Now look at this. So loitering, when businesses say no loitering, that is not the law. That is a conduct issue. You guys with me on this? That is the business saying, hey, when you're on our property, we want you to act a certain way. That loitering is the same, legally the same, as the store having a sign that says no shoes, no shirt, no service, or no smoking. If you saw a guy with no shirt and no shoes on entering a gas station with that sign, can you detain him for trespassing? No, because it's not your problem. It's not your problem. You are not the parking lot police. You're not their security guard. They need to do something first. They need to say, hey, we have rules here. You got to leave. And once they are told to leave and they don't leave, now we have trespassing. So in other words, loitering is conduct. It's not the law. Having no shirt is the conduct, not the law. Smoking, for the most part, okay, there could be in some states, you can't smoke inside buildings, but in Las Vegas, you can. Smoking is not prohibited, you know, by law in most states. And not, I'm sorry, in many states. So the point is, don't forget your role in this, okay? You are not the parking lot police, okay? You can't just tell people to leave and to get out of here if they're in open to the public area. The business has a part to play in this. Let's go through some scenarios. Exactly, Michael. Can you compel a person who is trespassed to provide ID but is compliant and willing to leave? Yes or no? Okay. All right, the answer is no. When an area is open to the public, they must be offered an opportunity to leave before being charged with trespassing, right? Okay. You know, here's Cal Crim law, right? The trespasser does not leave within a reasonable time. I told you what a reasonable time is. Depends on how much stuff they got. And it would appear to a reasonable person the trespasser poses a threat to the property or the occupants. The occupant may use reasonable force to make the trespasser leave. Okay. Can you detain a person to confirm they are not trespassing, i.e. no trespassing sign in a person hanging out? Can you detain them in a public area? Now, the answer is no. But can you detain them in the back alley by the trash cans and by the, you know, employee parking area only when they look like, you know, they don't belong there? That could be yes. That may be yes, right? That may be yes. It all depends. Do you think they had an invitation to enter the property? That's the question, okay? Do you think they had a lawful right to enter the property to begin with? If the area is a store and it's open to the public, the answer is yes, generally speaking. You may not detain a person just to confirm that they are trespassing. You need specific facts they are trespassing first. Now, there are a lot of employee parking lots in Las Vegas. And if you had a person who does not look like a casino worker because he looks like a homeless person pushing a shopping cart and, you know, he's in an employee-only area, I believe that officers have at least reasonable suspicion to detain him. Because, especially if he's hopping fences or no trespassing signs and so forth, because he does not look like he belongs there, and a reasonable person would realize that they should not be in an employee-only parking lot. So it's two different things. But move him to the front of the casino and you're a different story. Okay. Can you detain a person who has been trespassed by an occupant but leaves before you arrive? No, right? We know that, right? They are allowed to leave, right? I'm sorry. Oh, wait, hold on. Did I miss this one? Can you detain a person who has been trespassed but by an occupant but leaves before you arrive? Okay, what I meant to say is they committed the trespass. They have refused to leave. They have been, that's not a right, the question is not worded appropriately, but they have violated the law, but they comply before they leave before you arrive. We already talked about that. You can detain them to issue the citation, right? Whatever enforcement action you're allowed to take, you can take it two blocks down the road, generally speaking. Okay. Can officers develop reasonable suspicion to detain before a person is warned to leave? Yes. Okay. Nobody ever said that you cannot develop reasonable suspicion that they are trespassing before they in a public area. Okay. They see you in the parking lot. They start hiding behind cars. You know, there's an uptick in, you know, crime in that area. There could be something that they're not actually there as a guest, but they're there as a criminal, right? The key is to articulate why you believe they were warned previously or engaged in criminal activity. I guess really another way of saying this is you need reasonable suspicion, right? Of course, you can detain somebody for trespassing before, you know, if you have reasonable suspicion for criminal activity. That just makes sense. Okay. If the person is present during business hours, then the property owner must be first make decision to order a person to leave. We know that, right? But outside business hours, you can take enforcement action. So I had a case the other day where the suspect was hanging out in a parking lot that was, the business was not open until 10 a.m. And he was there like at 8 a.m. just hanging out, you know, in front of the doors, kind of like sleeping and so forth. That is trespass, right? That's trespass. That's there's a reason to believe that he knew or should have known that he was not welcome to be at that business, you know, and it's not Black Friday where people are hanging out. It's he's using it for an unlawful purpose. Are college property treated the same as public property or private? That's a very difficult question. I can't answer that with just those limited facts. It requires some analysis. It requires some analysis. But generally speaking, colleges are allowed to use the property for its intended purpose, right? But there is some issues with First Amendment auditors. A college can be a public space, right? There's a public forum. It gets a little complicated. But, you know, in the dormitories, you know, in the student halls, those are private usually. And people can be trespassed if they are not lawfully present. Let's do some takeaways, and we're going to do a search and seizure show. I think my biggest tip, my biggest advice to you is that a no trespassing sign plus an open to the public area plus no criminal activity equals no detention, okay? Instead, talk to the business. Make a consensual encounter, right? Some cops will say, oh, Anthony, but you can't talk to the business and ask them if you want this guy moving along because that is called soliciting a trespass, right? You can't solicit a trespass. That is not, I've never seen that before. There's no such thing as soliciting a trespass. All you're doing is asking this business, hey, do you want this guy moved along? He seems like, you know, he may be causing an issue with your customers. I think what the people mean is turning the business into your agent. That is prohibited. You cannot turn them into your agent. They can turn you into their agent. In other words, you can't be like, hey, look, I really want to get this guy moved along. I want to trespass them, okay? I mean, obviously, you don't have the authority for that. You're not their business. But they can say, please, can you move them along? Okay. Awesome, Jeremy. So did you find this information useful, right? Did you get something out of today's class? I really, really hope that you did. Guys, if you like what I'm doing here and you like my weird AI pick that makes me look a little younger and more studly, please give me some feedback, guys. The top one is a review for me. The bottom one is a review for the class. We're going to get into some trivia and going to win some fabulous prizes, including a trip to Europe. In an Audi. But the thing is, before I do that, will you guys give me a quick review? And Rick is on the line. He's going to tell me if people are doing this, because if they're not doing it, then I'm going to refuse to go on any further, because I got to tell you, I'm doing this all for free. Please give me some feedback. Thank you, Ryan. Just give me 1 second. All right. Rick, are those evals coming in, Rick? And Brian, it will be sent out automatically. Brian, the recording of the airport class. I don't know if that one is still available, but I will hook you up. Email me. All right. So let's continue. So for those who are watching on demand, We're gonna cut the class off now so we don't record the trivia portion, so you don't cheat next time and win these fabulous prizes. And you're welcome, guys. Let's do some trivia. And also, I'm going to stick around and answer your questions. If you have any search and seizure question, You can ask it. You can ask it on chat, but I prefer the microphone, and I'll answer your questions. All right. Again, for those who watch it on demand, you did not attend live, please join us and hundreds of your peers around the country and trying to make good case law. I really appreciate you. Please do not forget the social media. You may not see the chat on this, but go to bluetogold.com and please, you know, subscribe, right? Whether YouTube is your thing, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. All right, my friends, until next time, you guys stay safe.